All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I am so excited to have one of my favorite people in the world. And I mean that, Mr. Tom
Thank you,
Nelson.
Sir. Thank you.
Haven't known you long, man, but what I know of you, I wish there were more people like Tom Nelson in the world.
Thank you.
And not just running for office, right? Mm-hmm. You built your beliefs on what's right,
yeah.
Right? And
mm-hmm.
and I can feel like a moral connection with you. Can there be a morality and politics?
Yeah.
Can they be in the same?
Yeah,
body?
They can absolutely, because you got to fix the politics,
yeah.
Right? You got to fix the politicksters. Fix the politicksters. But, you know, politics is the way that you get things done in this. I mean, government's just another word for things that we do together that we can't do by ourselves. And politics gets a bad name, as it should. The amount of money and influence, ethics, a senior U.S. senator from a Midwest state that is basically a pathological liar. I mean, he changes his story. He knows full well that he was involved. Well, we'll talk about Ron Johnson later, though.
No, we can talk about him now.
So, yeah, no, I mean, I think that you can have, I think you and I see eye to eye and probably 99%, maybe 100%, though. And I think that's important. And a good elected official, a good candidate will try to achieve that with their voters. And if they don't have a moral connection in that way, at least and hopefully the voter understands where they're coming from and what their values are and how they base their decisions and the issues that they want to champion. And that's been a big part of this campaign. It's been a big part of my service, because I think in some respects, that's a lot more meaningful, because how you change hearts and minds and how you ultimately get support and understand your constituents and vice versa is to show that you are upfront, you're honest, you are genuine, and what you say, whatever it might be, conservative, liberal, or moderate, however you want to term it, that you're genuine, it's what you really believe in. And I think once you communicate those sentiments to voters, they might disagree with you, but they say, yep, I know where he stands. I know that this is what he's doing in good conscience, and I'll support him.
You know, Tom, I'm a couple decades older than you, and so I remember a time in this country when, even though people disagreed, we could have some dialogue,
yeah.
And we could do what's in the best interest long term for this country. That's not there
mm-hmm.
anymore.
No.
And I don't know if it can be brought back.
Mm.
Because not only is it at the level of Congress,
mm-hmm.
it's everyday people.
Right.
In families,
mm-hmm.
right?
Dividing families.
Yes.
Dividing families.
Yes. Families are divided. And how can that be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who think somehow that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who've been at the root of dividing people,
mm-hmm.
they're winning.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
and,
right.
And they call
that's
this
right.
winning, and people's lives are being destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not fabricating anything.
No, you're not.
This is why this election for the Senate, an opportunity to get rid of a charlatan like Ron Johnson, who has not been good from the first time he ran for office.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet he's been exposed time and time mm-hmm. and time again, and yet he's still there.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, that's where I'm concerned,
mm-hmm.
okay, with this government. And where it's headed. And people, as you stated earlier, it's been around a long time. Yes,
mm-hmm.
it has. But there were great governments before
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that are no longer here. And,
yeah.
and to think that America can be immune from history,
mm-hmm.
I think is a mistake.
I totally agree with you. And I think that we lose sight of the historical perspective. And that's part of the message of this campaign. It's not just, I want to change these things. I want to reform this. I want to, you know, pass the For the People Act. I want to pass the, you know, John Lewis Right to Vote Act. we have to use these positions, whether you are a candidate for office or in an elective office, to talk about history, to give context that this is a very troubling part of our history. No, this is not, yeah, this happens all the time. That's not right. That is not true. Things are awfully different right now. And we need to kind of project a sense of urgency that, and then not just recognizing that this is a problem, that within the context of history, this is not normal. This is unusual, but that this is something that we've got to put politics aside, really, truly put politics aside, rally around our common interests. And that is the case. I mean, if you think about this, there are a lot of Democrats and a lot of Republicans who are Packers fans.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I mean, I love the Packers. I've been a Packers fan for years and years and years, decades. I was a Packers fan in the 1980s when no one else has seen Packers fans. So I really am a Packers fan.
Now, you saying you came out of the womb as a Packer fan?
I did. That and taking hand to Sheephead and just ready to go at it. That's right. But look, I mean, politics in the grand scheme of things is not as serious as a functioning, safe, and free democracy. So if we can all get together and rally around a sports team, why can't we do that around a country? We just don't do that anymore. We're not even a united front when we're at war in Europe. You listen to Fox News and you think, wow, this is really no big deal. This is just a skirmish. And that would not be the case if this was back in the 1930s or 1940s when you were between two world wars. And Ukraine, make no mistake that this is a contest of autocracy versus democracy. And we can talk about that as well. I'm kind of going off in a tangent here.
No. Go ahead.
Finish. No, I was just going to say that we need to be united. Now, we can have differences of opinion. I know Ron Johnson and I do not see eye to eye on many issues, probably no issue at all. But that's fine. That's okay. Let's have a clash of ideas. Let's have as many debates as possible. Talk about this in as many audiences as possible and let the people decide. But at the same time, be respectful. And he's just not, he just has really no concern for how his behavior affects everything else. Well, I mean, how could he think that he was going to get away with handing a fake slate of electors, being asked about this again and again and again and lying again and again and again?
Because the guy he was beholding to is the same kind of guy, only on a higher level.
Yeah,
I mean, the guy who set in the White House for 4 years was a criminal before he got there.
Yep.
He created criminal actions during the time he was there. And all of the things that we all knew were going on, there are people who turned the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And now the fact that that same guy was able to walk away without having to pay a price for that.
Mm-hmm.
He's still out front trying to get back. And here's Tom, why I say this is such a crucial point in our history, and you hear it constantly. But when people realize we only make up 4% of the global population and the rest of the world is starting to catch up with us.
And we consume 25% of the resources.
And the rest of the world is starting to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the world is starting to say, hey, we're... America's in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The world is not in America.
Yeah.
Okay. And yet the American people don't realize that. Many of us don't realize we're such a small speck on this global map that it's critically important now and at this time that we start realizing, hey, we better get our act together.
Right.
Collectively. Right.
Right.
This separation that we're talking about long term can't be beneficial.
No.
When others are catching up to what our nation is. Am I off base with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we're entering this new period of like resource wars and conflicts. And that's only accelerated not just by the difference in who has what and how much, but also climate refugees.
Yes. I mean,
they estimate that there's hundreds of millions of climate refugees. And right now we see climate crisis, but we haven't seen anything yet in the next 20, 30 or 40 years. So you just have layer upon layer of all of these issues and the weight of these layer upon layer of issues is crushing this country, and we're suffocating. And it's kind of like the proverbial frog in boiling water, yeah. Right? You put him in water and then you turn it on, you know, sooner or later he's going to be dead, but he doesn't really feel it because right. It's this, you know, it gets warmer and warmer. Right. And literally this world's going to get warmer and warmer and people are going to be displaced. If you look at the kind of flooding that's happening in Bangladesh, you know, that's tip of the spear as far as a geography and a country that is going to be most susceptible to climate change.
But you still got people who on the right who still in the face of all those things want to see new refineries. Well, mm-hmm. We haven't had any new refineries
in 50 years.
Yeah, well, don't you understand?
Right, right.
You're
and that's
still
not
pushing.
Right, and that's by choice. You know what what the politicians don't understand and what the Republicans are not telling you is that these oil companies do not respond to the government. They don't respond to the people.
Right.
They are corporations. And so they look at the bottom line. They look at their shareholders. They do not have an obligation to make their product cheaper. And they have all kinds of oil leases that they're sitting on. Why? Because they're getting record profits. They're doing their job. Now we're suffering. They're taking advantage of it. And Republicans are saying, we got to drill, drill, drill. Well, you know what? The oil companies can drill, 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 and they can add refineries, but
yeah.
They're not. Why? Because they got the consumer in a vice grip. The consumer has, if you've got a car, you can put one or two things in there mainly. You can put electricity or you can put oil or,
right.
You know, or gas and ethanol. So there's very few things that you can do. So they've got you in the vice grip. Plus, just like so many other markets, there's only a handful of oil companies that are dominating the market and controlling prices and hurting each and every one of it. It isn't Joe Biden. It is the Republicans, it's corporate America, and their big oil companies.
So hold that thought. We got to go to a break. My guest is Tom Nelson. He's a candidate for the United States Senate. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. He's one of my favorite people in the world. We'll be right back. You know. At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Tom Nelson. He's a candidate for Senate, United States Senate. And Tom, we just found out that Roe versus Wade has been overturned.
Yep, and Wisconsin is one of maybe a dozen states, like right now, where doctors can go to jail.
Yes,
we are right now
years.
On the books. What is in effect right now is an 1849 law. 1849, so 1 year after this state was founded, that was a long time ago, it is illegal. It is illegal for a doctor to perform an abortion, and if he or she does, they can be tossed in the clink.
You know, the Josh Call, our attorney general, has clearly stated he's not going to enforce that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they can do to him on a federal level or others like him, because clearly there are people who, attorney generals across this nation who are refusing to enforce that.
Right.
But you hear Republicans, they're celebrating now, many of them, and they're saying this was a mistake,
mm-hmm.
you know, 50 years ago or so ago. They made a mistake. We're correcting the mistake.
Ma'am.
So what does
that
mean?
And we talked off the air, you know, who determines that it's a mistake? This is 50 years. There's been a lot of justices that have sat on the Supreme Court. There have, I think you can say, not just thousands, but you could say there have been tens of thousands of legislators and members of Congress and U.S. senators in the last 50 years. And what this comes down to is six people. Three of which are illegitimate U.S. Supreme Court decisions. It's Merrick Garland should not be at DOJ. Merrick Garland should be in the U.S.
No
Senate.
No question.
You know, so you've got three illegitimate Supreme Court judges. So half of this decision, half of the votes in this decision are illegitimate. And so I believe that we need to expand the court. And so I guess right here in the Earl Ingram Show, this is, I am a candidate for the U.S. Senate, one of the most competitive seats in the country.
You mean you're packing the court, Brandon?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me be clear, though. So I'm on this wonderful radio show. So now I'm making my first public pronouncements on this decision. And so I believe that we need to expand the court because I believe that the Republicans have been packing the court for many years now. And three of the six votes are illegitimate. Those are illegitimate justices. To correct that, Democrats have got to get aggressive and we've got to expand the court. How do we get there? We win Wisconsin. The only way that the Democrats keep the majority, let alone add to the majority to get a working majority, is if Democrats win this state. I've said it before, I will say it again, over the last 20 months, I am the only candidate who is best positioned to beat Ron Johnson. I'm the one with the track record, to say nothing about the track record of where I stand on issues like a woman's right to choose, but I have the track record of beating Republicans in their backyard, not once, not twice, but six times over 17 years. Democrats cannot get this race wrong. If we want to codify Roe, if we want to make sure that women and doctors do not go to jail, we have to win Wisconsin. That means nominating someone who can beat Ron Johnson, and that's me. We could go up to 51, and if we get to 51, we can get rid of the filibuster.
You know, Tom, if you look at decisions that this, as you stated, illegitimate Supreme Court has come to over the last week or so, things that, you know, separation of church and state is not in the Constitution, but, you know, there are things that have been taking place, and I don't think there's anybody, for the most part, with any common sense, who thinks it's a good idea for religion and politics to be married to one another, except for people who have an agenda, right?
Right.
And yet here, that's kind of been, you know, overturned, if you will. The what's happening in New York City with guns and the laws. These things are going to affect us. The people who created the 6-3 majority knowingly that these are our, hey, these are our guys. We have our guys on the court. They've been kind of silent for a while, but now we see the impact of what all that was.
Let me also make this point, too. And I made this point up in Minocqua, which is way up north. Right. And Minocqua, that's not blue country. That is red, deep red country. And there were more people turned out for the Minocqua rally, and there were more people turning out for the women's rally in Wausau than what I had heard turned out in Madison or Milwaukee. So this is all over the place. And what I said at that rally in Minocqua, I said, you know what, if this was about constitutional rights, and this is a constitutional right, it's been a constitutional right for 50 years. If this was a constitutional right about a man's body, okay, this state would be burning down right now. There would not have been a debate about this. There would likely have been, but there isn't. You know, this comes down to a woman's right to choose. This is a right given to women. And so, I mean, it is, you know, I mean, as a father, I have a daughter, and I have three sisters, including one that's 19 years old. And I think that this is just, I'm really concerned. I'm concerned for them. And I really am concerned about this country, because this really speaks to us as a people, how we treat 50% of this country.
So, Tom, do you think that clearly there's a price that should be paid for that decision, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all things being equal, you would think, and we know who's pushed this, the Republicans.
Right.
And the fact that they're the reason,
right?
You would think that there's an ultimate price,
right,
that should be paid for that. I'm not sure that's going to matter.
No, I think so too. That there is another side of this issue, and I think as the days go by, that group is smaller and smaller and smaller. Because when you take away a right, more and more people that may have been ambivalent or even may have been against that, right, realize, whoa, holy cats, if you got six people, they're going to take away a constitutional right. What does that mean for me? What right are they going to take next? And I think you've got, think about this, in the last 24 hours, there was a, this just goes to show how just inconsistent, how partisan the U.S. Supreme Court is, that in one case, you are getting rid of a law in New York that's been there for many years. Okay, we're not talking about bringing back a law that's been, you know, silent for 50 years, but one that's been there for over 100 years that allows the legislature of New York to protect its citizens. That's gone. That's unconstitutional. And now a right that's been enjoyed by women for the last 50 years, it's gone. So, all within 24 hours.
So that hypocrisy where you hear people on the right constantly talking about states' rules, states' rights. Mm-hmm. We don't want the federal government infringing upon our states' rights. But with this decision of overturning Roe versus Wade, they're not leaving it up to the states.
No. That's another angle of hypocrisy. Yeah. That's exactly right.
I know.
I mean, we could take like 2 or 3 days of reciting all the angles of hypocrisy from this decision.
Yeah.
It just cranks you up.
It really does. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. My guess is Tom Nelson. We'll be right back. You can text us at that same number. My guess is Mr. Tom Nelson, the candidate for United States Senate. And if you guys have never met him or heard of him, that's a shame, because we need more men like Tom Nelson in government. There's just no question whatsoever about that. And we are fortunate to have him here in our state, man. You know, you're bigger than the state. You really should be on the national.
Well, thank you. I mean, this is great. I mean, I've, you know, there's a lot of things within this race kind of on the side, and that's, you know, making these friendships. I've been able to, we've had, I don't know, 100 volunteers and interns. Some of us have been here for the entire time. Some have come and gone because of school and other obligations. Right. But the outpouring of support that I've received and the friendships that I've made, and hopefully the friendships that I will be able to maintain, win or lose, is something that is incredibly special. Everything from family to old neighbors, even neighbors of cousins that I haven't seen in decades.
Right.
You know, my extended family in Barron, Wisconsin, that has meant a lot. Being able to reach out to old classmates, college, and talking to people that I would not have spoken with. Because you got to reach far and wide and deep in order to build a statewide U.S.
So
everybody
can't give up 2 years of their lives, you know. I mean, it certainly hasn't been easy. You have been at this a long time. Let's go to the phone lines. Hey, Tom from L.A., what's going on? You say what?
Hey, Earl, first off, we the people are the government. Ultimately, and the Republicans are the pro-death party. Tom, I've spoken to you several times on Jeff Santos' show,
yes.
Which I'm glad to hear that you have his endorsement.
Yes.
I know you're from Mozenie originally, which I'm from Durand.
Actually, Little Chute, but, you know, I'm from Wisconsin, so all the communities are like home for me.
Exactly. So my question to you is this, because I know you had that debate where no one showed up. And I was hoping that you would have maybe just the debate by yourself and maybe do a YouTube of it and say, where are all these other people that are supposed to be in this debate? That's one thing. And my second thing is I would ask that you do messaging in terms of a woman's right to choose versus the government's right to choose.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it is. And not use the word gun control, use the word gun safety. Those are just really big things. Get money out of politics. And then the other thing is, I know Earl has another person on online, and I'm so happy that you're supporting Harvey Kaye's 21st Century Bill of Rights, Economic Bill of Rights as well. But I know Earl has a gentleman that's involved in education in the state of Wisconsin, or he has been. And I was just wondering, were people like him invited to the debate as well, or was it more the top tier like Mandela Barnes and
are you referring to the one that was going to be held? I'm just trying to think of who. Oh, the Wisconsin Policy Institute, is that which one? Because there's been so many Republicans.
So.
I mean, not Republicans acting like Republicans that these Democrats have shut down. I mean, look, let's get. There was the one that was sponsored by the Wisconsin Policy Institute. There was one that a friend of mine was putting together with journalism students from Algoma High School, of which they were rejected by these candidates. There was the Schwamigan Dems, which is Bayfield Ashland combined counties, the Czech Dems as they are affectionately known as. They had one, but people either, you know, said they couldn't make it or canceled. One of those two. And so we had.
Right. Well,
there.
My point is we need as many debates as possible.
Well, exactly.
FBI
in fact,
type of progressive.
Exactly. In fact, know? back in January, I called on Ben Wickler, the chair of the party. You know, let's get some debates here, you know, because I think the one thing that the party is responsible is to fully vet these candidates. We can't just turn a blind eye. We can just say, well, a primary is a primary. My goodness, if I get through the nomination, my campaign would have been 25 months long, 22 of which were in the primary. And so no state resources were going to get behind this. And so part of the reason I got in so early is I realized that there's so much more of a burden on these individual campaigns to build the statewide infrastructure, because you can't alone put together this infrastructure within 3 months with the party, no matter how great a party is. And Ben Wickler is the best count, the best state chair in the country, bar none. But you're exactly right. My concern is that whoever gets through this, they have to be fully and properly vetted, and they're not. And that is a big concern, because there are, based on a couple of news stories, there are some serious flaws for some of these candidates that I'm very concerned that the Republicans are going to fully exploit and take advantage of. And you're talking to a candidate right now who's been through the Scott Walker machine, who has been through the Paul Ryan machine, and I can tell you right now that those boys play rough. They play for keeps, and I don't think some of the candidates in this primary really know what they're going up against if they get through the primary.
Absolutely, and I'm really, really looking forward to your candidacy. I know I've told my family that's back in that Durand area to vote for you. You know, I'm not going to lie, Alex Lazary and Mandela Barnes also appealed to me, as well as the guy that Earl has on his show, who's a son of educator. I can't remember who he is.
Dr. Williams.
But Dr. Williams. And I just would like to see, like I said, I'm an FDR Democrat, as you know. I'm a proud FDR Democrat. And I definitely want to see if you're not the candidate, I want us to be pushing those people that are more corporate.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
So let me go here with you, Tom. Let's talk about the fact that the debates that you guys are going to be having coming up. What? How long from now?
I think it's about 3 weeks,
Will that be the one and only debate?
Pretty much. I mean, that will be the only debate that I know of right now. There have been a couple of random forums. In fact, at 11 o'clock, I'm going to one of the forums in Milwaukee. It's put on by the Wisconsin Small Business Alliance.
Okay.
And so supposedly all of us will be there. I think actually all the candidates will be there. And that's something that, you know, that's something that's good. Forums are good, but you need to have, number one, yes, you need to buy, you know, a side by side comparison and contrast, but you also need to have a clash of ideas. You want to hear what others think about their platforms, because you need to have this full on discussion. You need to take questions from the audience. You need to take, you know, you need to look at this from many directions as possible and make sure that we have the strongest possible candidate to the primary. That's what primaries are about.
So I think it's important that people get to know who you are. I haven't had Lazary on, okay? And because of personal reasons, because number one, he's a guy who just got here. From the perspective of, he hadn't been in the state very long, and to somehow think that a guy who doesn't have any involvement for the most part at all in our state, mm-hmm. that somehow he should automatically be able, because he has all his dad has all his money, that somehow he's the guy.
Right.
I mean, I just don't support that kind of.
That's right. That's right.
Period. Right.
That's right.
It may make some people angry, but I'm not one of those who gets enamored with the fact that his daddy has all that money.
Right.
It's no different if it's a Democrat or if it's a Republican, right?
Right.
I mean, when it comes to that.
Right.
This has to be based on, I think, people who know somebody who's been in this state for a while, knows the inner workings of our state. I think all those things are important. But what I really want to do is, we get ready in the last couple segments with you, is to let you speak to the listening audience, mm-hmm. about your thoughts, your beliefs, and I'll just step back and let you just go.
Well, look, this is something, public service has been my core for many years. I don't come from a politics family, in that I have a relative who was an elected official, but my dad was a Lutheran pastor. And that's very similar, because I learned at a very young age the importance of serving your community. And I found electoral politics, just as he found the Lutheran ministry. I also grew up on a blue-collar neighborhood, which I think is an experience that millions of Wisconsinites have had over the years. And so the combination of the importance of serving your community, coupled with growing up and learning that there are a lot of people in this world, like the families on Carolyn Drive, work hard, play by the rules, pay their taxes, but they can't get ahead,
right,
because there's too much money and too much power concentrated in just a few hands. So central from my public service has been a sense of economic justice. And connected to economic justice are issues like racial justice, social justice, justice for women, and the right to choose. All of those come together. But foundationally, in my core, has been economic justice, the right to a good family-supporting job, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, getting rid of the bad trade deals that have shipped Wisconsin jobs overseas, getting corporate America under control, taxing the rich, making them pay their fair share, but also doing things like busting up monopolies and consolidation of industry. I'm going to a restaurant down the way in Milwaukee for this forum, and restaurateurs are getting crushed, not because of inflation, but because there's only a handful of food service providers in the market. And so they control the prices and they crush these small businesses. So that's my core, economic justice. And you will also see in this campaign, and you'll hear this, that the top issue, yes, who your core is, what you want to do if you get to Washington, but who can beat Ron Johnson? Who can beat Ron Johnson? I'm the only candidate from a red part of the state who's won election and re-election 6 times in a red part of the state as a legislator and as a county executive. If you want to beat Ron Johnson, if you want to have a voice for the people, the working families of Carolyn Drive, of Little Chute, the entire state, well, so, I'm your candidate.
So listen, when we come back, we'll continue with State Representative. Oh.
That's okay. I was.
Candidate for United States Senate, Mr. Tom Nelson. Phone number 844-967-2789. You can join us. We'll be right back. For you. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Tom Nelson. And before we went to break, I said that I was going to give him an opportunity to talk directly to you. And Tom still goes.
Mm-hmm. No. I think that's what I want people to take away from this. My experience is your experience. We need fewer millionaires in Washington. In fact, I think that there should be no millionaires. I think that you should have people within, you know, the realm of what, you know, families earn. How, because, you know, and really simple things like banning stock trading. You know, people have clearly been abusing that, taking advantage of insider information. We need to have campaign finance reform. We need to codify Roe. We need to make sure that we need to ingrain in no uncertain terms the right to vote. All those things are under attack. And when I talked about before about, for example, Ukraine, the conflict out there is a battle between ideologies of autocracy and democracy. Well, I said that the same, I think within the same hour that the Supreme Court decision on Roe was handed down, that was signed by six people. And when you think of an autocracy, you're talking about countries that are being ruled by just one person or a couple of people. Same thing can be said with the Roe decision. Same thing can be said about a lot of the decisions that are coming down from the U.S. Supreme Court. So as we've discussed in the last hour of how are the bedrock, the foundation of our democracy at stake, and there are very obvious examples, the January 6th insurrection, what we're learning from these committee hearings, but there are also these subtle moves by the autocrats in our country, like those six individuals, okay? They're people, they're citizens, yeah, just right. Like you and I, these six individuals that have taken away a constitutional right that has been embedded in the law books, well, not necessarily all law books like Wisconsin, but has been established and reinforced by court decision after court decision, following attack by right-wing legislatures all over this country. Six people, one case, one argument did this. So many examples of how democracy is at stake. So many examples of how we have to be concerned about the future, you know, not just for the here and now, but for the generations to come, generations coming up, like my Mary and George, 6 and 8 year old, what kind of country are they going to live in 10 years or right. 12 years, everything from the climate crisis to the state of democracy, right to choose, on and on, you know?
You know, Tom, it's what I talk about all the time. The fight is not for you and my time. It's what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who don't have some understanding of the fact that somebody fought for us.
Yeah.
That's part of what this is all about, right?
Yeah.
So you've got people who, again, now who want to say, you know, we need to drill, baby, drill. You know, never mind that it was in the pristine areas where people before us knew there was oil reserves
mm-hmm.
in this country, but wouldn't dare touch it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because yeah. they yeah. knew there are people who come after us, right? Or like the Native Americans who believed wherever it was they were going to leave it better off than it was before they got there.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, we can't say that.
Right. No, we...
Because we're not doing that.
No, and somehow we're proud of that, right? And so we need to have people who are aware of those things and aren't bought and paid for,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
People get angry with me sometimes when I talk about people who are bought and paid for. But if you don't put the people first,
mm-hmm.
I always say, money is a part of this,
right?
All of this, you can't
right.
say it's not.
Right.
You need money in order to be able to run these races. But when you get so confused in all of this that you're held accountable to the people the money people.
Right.
The money people can only vote once. All the other people are the ones who put you where you are.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's the average citizen.
That's right.
Who goes in and votes, not the people who've given you $2 or $3 million.
Right.
Well, when you are spending your time and effort and energy to appease the people who gave you $2 or $3 million, you wouldn't be in that position to deal with the lobbyists.
Right.
Well, I don't know what decision to make. The lobbyists are putting pressure on me. What are you talking about?
Right.
You wouldn't be having an opportunity to sit down with the lobbyists if it wasn't for the everyday Joe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you can't figure that out, you shouldn't be where you are. I mean, that's just how I look at it.
Makes a lot of sense.
Well, you know, I can't. I'm getting pressure from the lobbies. I don't know what to do. You should be gone. Because
simple as that. It's a pretty simple equation, you know. And we've got to, you know, we've got to battle this assault on democracy on every possible front. And you know what? It doesn't take someone, you know, it's not just limited people who are, you know, hosting radio programs. It's not just people who are running for the United States Senate, but it's everyday folks.
Right.
People need to get involved. They need to contact their legislators. They need to do, you know, by any means necessary to assert their fundamental human rights, their constitutional rights, and also their obligation living in a democracy, that they need to strengthen the institutions, that they need to make sure that there is going to be a healthy democracy for generations to come. And you know what? Right now, we can't say that.
You know, Tom, you're traveling the state. I don't know how many different times you've traveled. You are meeting with people who are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time they were middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden they're not anymore.
Right.
Something happened. It wasn't on them.
Right.
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 Somebody changed the game.
Right.
Somebody changed the rules.
Right.
And so all they want is a fair shot. All they want is what the nation claims it stands for.
Mm-hmm.
A free opportunity for everybody who to live a middle class lifestyle in this country.
Right.
That's one of the main tenets of our nation, right?
Right.
We know it's not there anymore.
Right.
You know, and so that's why people really have to get involved and have to make sure that they don't get caught up in the politics again. Because
and to stand up to the politricksters.
Well,
I can't believe we've gone almost an hour without saying politricksters.
We're just at a time, man, where I see people in the neighborhoods in which I live who are struggling, who are starving, who are working every day.
Yeah, they're working.
They're working. And
they're working really hard.
And they can't move.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see others who are just pilfering the treasury.
Mm-hmm.
In
like the big CEOs and the corporations.
Yes, in a nation that's supposed to be.
And the owners of a certain professional sports team that took $250 million from the taxpayers of the state to quadruple their investment to make them another billionaire over. And then to use the money there to purchase a U.S. Senate seat for their son.
You know, I remember I was one of the people who fought that. And people were saying to me, well, what about the Bucks? And I'm saying, what about the Bucks? The Bucks don't represent the people. That's a private owner for the most part. And they're not going to do anything to make life better for the citizens who were had to give up something in order for them to be here.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you very much, my friend.
Of course, it's
always
great to be on.
Great. We got to get you back. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we'll see you soon. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. That's Tom Nelson. We'll be back.